Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today we have our good soapbox friend and friend of peace and friend of all animals, four-legged, two-legged, winged, and whatever, or ensconced in some kind of a shell, Bob Linden of Go Vegan Radio. Bob is putting on a vegan summit next weekend, and he's going to tell us all about it. Bob Linden of Go Vegan Radio, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you for having me again, Cindy. It's always a pleasure to be with one of my true heroes and fellow peace activist. And I was just thinking how long I'm a peace activist. I guess it was when I got up and walked out of Stuyvesant High School in New York during the Vietnam War. And
Yay.
And then and here we are today with the vegan cause for the animals. That's really significant peace activism, too.
Well, what I like about you is that you just don't limit your activism, to non-human animals.
This is all inclusive. We're against all oppression here,
So, sure.
Which I find interesting in the progressive community that speciesism and cruelty to animals are still the acceptable oppression, even to the most progressive among us, it seems. So,
and we've talked about this before. I could say almost anything on my Facebook wall about anything, but if I mention veganism, people go off their nuts about it, And so
people say they want peace, but they just don't want to do the action for it, There are some people, they think, being vegan is cool, but I don't know, that seems like a lot of work. So you get people who write books like Vegan Before Six, like Mark Bittman of the New York Times, who says, well, just be vegan until dinner time, or I guess you can be vegan during naps or vegan between meals or whatever. But, it's the peace activism action that tastes good and is good for you.
Absolutely. That's a great commercial. Before we get into your conference that's coming up next weekend, let's talk a little bit about the drought in California and how being a vegan could, help that. Besides helping the animals, it actually takes a lot of water to...
Of course, yes, and we have somebody speaking on that subject at the event, and Lauren Kaur, who's been involved with studying that for many years, and many great environmentalists will be at the event. Yes, so what's funny is that Jerry Brown tells us, well, let's try to solve the drought by refusing a glass of water, when you go to a restaurant. Just turn the water down, and, you're solving the drought. Mm-hmm. Well, so... A vegan, such as you or I, requires 10,000 gallons of water to grow our food in a year.
Okay.
And the flesh eater, the secretion eater, the meat eater, meat, dairy, fish, and egg eater, requires 320,000 gallons of water. So I saved 310,000 gallons myself last year.
Wow.
You, Cindy, saved 310,000 gallons. Between the two of us, we just saved over 600,000 gallons of water between us just for that.
Wow. Good for us.
Yeah, good for us, yeah. Right? Join us. If you're concerned, just join us. You know, it's like then you could drink all the water you want in a restaurant. You know,
I think it would
take about 4 million customers at restaurants to equal what you did last year, Cindy, just by being vegan. I think it would be like 4 million customers at Denny's to you.
California's never had a sane water policy the whole time it's been a state, but that's a different subject. So
right, and we have fracking, right,
oh,
which
absolutely.
Is a threat to water, and yeah, so
fracking takes a lot of water. Golf courses take a lot of water.
Right.
Municipalities and
sure.
Factory
and just
farming.
Remember, in a world where resources are scarce, 32 vegans, really require the water that one meat eater needs to grow his or her food. So 32 of us can be fed, or one meat eater by that water. And it was estimated by the Stockholm International Water Institute that it requires 8,500 gallons of water to produce a pound of beef.
What?
So, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, if you have that gallon of Arrowhead around or whatever, pour it down the drain every morning, you know, for what? It would be about 22 years, I think, that every day you'd pour that gallon down to, you know, for that pound of beef. So it's insane. It's so crazy. I mean, you would think everybody would have awakened now, or at least thought like, what's in my mouth, or who is in my mouth, and I'm eating decomposing flesh. Mm-hmm. Can that be good for me? And then we find that it causes heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, all of those problems, and completely destroys the environment. So whose idea was it to eat these beautiful, sensitive, feeling animals anyway? You know, who started it? That's what I want to know. Who thought they were appetizing? I don't drive by cows and think, wow, I'm hungry, you know?
No, I think they're very, I think, oh, look at those very beautiful cows. And then
yeah.
I feel very stricken because I know they're going to end up on somebody's plate. Well,
right.
Maybe somebody's plate soon. And yeah, it is just really tragic because besides the water, eating meat is disastrous for the environment. But we're the extremists and crazy ones for suggesting that maybe we shouldn't eat meat to help the environment, to help the scarcity of resources, and of course to help the animals.
Yeah, extremism is in the eye of the beholder. You know, it's like I think it's extreme to stab someone to death and then consume the body, the flesh, and you know, I mean that seems extreme. Having bypass surgery, that seems extreme. Having somebody then take a knife to your chest after somebody took a knife to an animal's throat, that seems extreme. And having the planet die from climate change seems extreme. And eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs is the number one cause of climate change. But again, people like to give lip service. It's like, oh, we're against climate change, so we'll make some oil company, you know, we'll make a college divest stock
right.
from an oil company or something totally irrelevant. Well, it turns out people like Bill McKibben, 350.org, the Sierra Club, are all influenced by rancher money. So you're never going to get the truth from them. So you get a nice climate march with no answers. That's why I went to New York with a megaphone to project to the people going by who totally ignore the solution. Animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, producing at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So, you know, you can talk about being, for saving the planet, but, you know, the action is really delicious, though. You know, it's like you're not sacrificing anything, and then, of course, you're not sacrificing anyone by going vegan. And, all of these conferences and summits that happen around the world, they do nothing. It's people just wasting a lot of jet fuel, it seems, to go to climate marches and all. So
exactly.
So we are compelled to gather next week in Los Angeles for the World Vegan Summit and Expo and finally offer some answers to, you know, all the people. Yeah, everybody's complaining. Okay, you want a solution? Here we are.
It really looks amazing, the summit next weekend. So tell my listeners about it, and then of course we'll talk about how people can get more information. And would it be possible to have summits in other parts of the country also? Because like you said, you know, flying back and forth across the country is you know, something that's we have to do once in a while, but it'd be preferable if we didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Well, if all the money that kind-hearted people had weren't going to bogus organizations like the Humane Society of the United States and Mercy for Animals and all of those who really betray animals and really are meat industry fronts, if we had the money to do it, I mean, this is such a grassroots effort. I'd have to say, what are you trying to talk me into doing? I mean, I do an event about every 5 years, and then I say, I'm never going to do this again. You know what I mean? And then I forget in 5 years, then somebody says, you know, we should do. And then I go, yeah, we should. And then, you know, so so here we go again. I mean, the amount of energy and fundraising, because, you know,
right.
I'm, you know, we're financially challenged activists with a cause, you know, so, so it's expensive, but if there were a wealthy vegan listening right now who wants to help with this, sure, let's do it all over the country. You know, let's do it all over the world because this is the answer. I mean, parents don't want to poison their children and have them come down with diabetes and be obese and everything. Well, we have the answer to all the world's problems, including if you're a peace activist. You know, the wisdom of the words. I know you love the quote by Tolstoy, you know, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And because we fight wars over resources, like, well, look at the water. You know, the greedy want to have all the water and, you know, not feed the other 32 people. So we're starting off next Friday. This is at the Marina del Rey Marriott. Which is a beautiful beachside location, and it's really just, I mean, I look at the subject matter, and people, if they look at the schedule at worldvegansummit.com, I mean, we start off with Professor Gary Steiner of Bucknell with Animals in the History of Western Thought. Okay, that's a good place to start. Charlotte Cressy then comes on. She's in talking really about veganism and ecofeminism. Then Sherry Kolb and Michael Dorff, professors from Cornell, are talking about questions people ask vegans. Sherry Kolb wrote the book, Mind If I Order the Cheeseburger? We have Ted Nordquist of Whole Soy talking about the challenges of sustaining an organic vegan business. And then Tammy Bryant, a UCLA professor, saying why supporting vegan businesses is an important part of animal rights law. And then Will Tuttle, PhD, author of The World Peace Diet, with, of course, the fact that, you know, peace begins with your plate. It really does. Then we have a reception that evening. And if we didn't get everybody crying all day, well, sometimes you got to laugh to stop from crying. And so we have Mike Kaplan, who had a special on the Comedy Network, Comedy Channel, and he's a vegan, and he's funny, and he'll be entertaining us at the reception on Friday night. We just have so many wonderful speakers. Janice Stanger, who author of The Perfect Formula Diet, who addresses the protein question. So, you know, people coming there, you know, with that foremost in their mind, I'm going to a conference of protein deficient, you know, people. It's you know, if you think you're going to pass out, like, you know, protein tablets, yeah, not necessary. We're not protein deficient. So we're going to have some veganic produce that we're using there. And Saturday morning, we get a talk from Arlo Taves, who's a veganic farmer, which really takes us beyond organic. You know, organic farming, even though it is the highest standard, still allows for bone meal, fish meal, I think feathers, you know, so blood meal, but that's organic, you know, and veganic is no animal products in the, would be no animal products in the growing process. We'll have some veganic food there, but we need more veganic food in the world. And I do an opening session on Saturday morning, followed by Professor Gary Francione and Anna Charlton. Professor Francione is the first academic to teach animal rights theory in an American law school. He does commentary on my program every Sunday night on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. He is a proponent of the abolitionist approach to animal rights, meaning all of this, all of the welfare, the supposed welfare, the cage-free, the humane meat, are all distractions on the way to really accomplishing what we want, which is that, if you care about animals at all, you don't eat them, and you ask other people not to eat them too. I mean, what's happening, and this is part of why we're having this this event also, because we know we need to go vegan, and somebody always comes along to, who wants to make a buck. So he or she tells us what we want to hear, like Dr. Fatkins came along and said, hey, eat all the meat you want and lose weight. Well, where is Dr. Fatkins today? So these groups come along and they tell us, well, all you have to do is, how about meatless Mondays? Yeah, just don't eat meat on Mondays and you'll be doing fine. We just found out the egg industry is complimenting meatless Mondays, is thanking meatless Mondays for its highest sales in 30 years. So because of meatless Mondays, and people don't really interpret that to mean vegan Mondays, but why would you have a vegan Monday when you need to be vegan all week? You wouldn't have peace on Mondays only,
right.
And then peaceless Tuesdays through Sunday. So meatless Monday, a total disaster. It's led to record high egg sales, and a disaster for animals. Also on Saturday, we have Mike Weinberg, founder of Vegan Diego, talking about the importance of supporting 100% vegan restaurants and businesses. People think it's so great that Subway offers a vegan option or whatever it might be. Well, Subway is a meat market, and of course they would like your money, but the people who really put it on the line are the ones who have vegan businesses. So I say, vegan dollars for vegan businesses. And so we'll have some of those vegan businesses represented there. Loving Hut with its great restaurants, and we have Viva La Vegan Grocery, the world's largest vegan grocery that's in Rancho Cucamonga. Eric Weissman from Evolution Dog and Cat Food. Yes, your dogs and cats can be vegan too. And we also have a veterinarian, our Mighty May, who will address that subject. So it's really, I don't know, it's just the most amazing. We have Vaidya Priyanka. She's from a 700-year lineage of Ayurvedic women healers from India, and she tells us that dairy is filth. So if anybody is in the Indian community in Southern California who can make it over there, this is really important to hear. Anuj Shah will be talking about cows, compassion, and climate change. And Professors Kolb and Dorf will also talk about the lessons the vegan movement can learn from other justice movements. So, these subjects are fascinating, I find. Saturday night is vegan outreach to people of color with Soul Food for Thought, co-hosted by Siba Johnson, Olympic athlete Kenneth Williams, who's a champion bodybuilder, Milton Mills, MD, talking about traditional African diet versus today's plate of plantation food, as he calls it, and what it means to the community for health. Antenna Roba, MD, from Ethiopia, president of the International Fund for Africa, how the African-American diet affects the African environment. And he also recounts his recent visit to the slave dungeons of West Africa and talks about meaning for today. Really a very touching presentation at Soul Food for Thought Saturday night, the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Babette Davis, who's the owner of Stuff I Eat Vegan Restaurant in Inglewood, will also be participating in that. And while it sounds like it's a bit heavy, we have some great entertainment. Blaze Mob reggae band performing at Soul Food for Thought, Vegan Boss, rap artist, and then that was, you know, I mean, then we have Helen Haywatt. She's a environmental nutrition fellow, School of Public Health, Community Resilience Center, Loma Linda University, talking about veganism and the environment. We have, I mean, I'm amazed by all of these people in one place, which, you know, Lester Friedlander, veterinarian, former USDA meat inspector, now vegan, talking about, you know, just how contaminated everything that people eat is. And he's not a fan of Temple Grandin and her methods. We have Keith McHenry, founder of Food Not Bombs, on feeding vegan food to the homeless. And Amanda Benham, a nutritionist, talking about vegan children and, you know, Generation Vegan, addressing dietary considerations for kids and others. You know, kids should be vegan too, of course. And let's see. We have, I believe, the world's greatest athletes ever, Jeanette Murray-Wakelin and Alan Murray. They're in their 60s. She healed herself of breast cancer with a vegan diet. And in their 60s, just a few months back, they ran a marathon. They ran a marathon every day for 366 consecutive days. So in my book, the greatest athletes ever, you know, I mean, I would think that like on day 246, you say, oh, you know, I have a little pain in my leg here. I don't really feel like it. Nope, get up. We're doing it. So Philip Wolin, a philanthropist from Australia, will be there. He delivered an amazing speech that went viral on YouTube. At lunch on Sunday. Ah, Peace Mom Cindy Sheehan, we're having lunch with you on Sunday, this great Mexican meal that we're having. Yeah. Sunday, we're doing a tribute to Cesar Chavez. His birthday's coming up, the great vegan. Mm-hmm. And so you'll be with us lunchtime, along with the great niece and great niece of Cesar Chavez, who are both vegan, inspired by that family member. I mean, it just goes... It goes on and on and on. So we are happening. We're really happening. Sue Coe, artist. We have food demonstrations, vegan food demonstrations, and music. Great vegan artists. Donna DeLore. Just really fantastic. Oh, Amy Jean Davis, an American Idol favorite. She'll sing at the pizza party lunchtime on Friday. So I suggest that people go to worldvegansummit.com. And the thing is, I mean, it's really expensive to put on this event. And so the way that I've constructed it is meals inclusive. I mean, and it's not everybody can afford the ticket price. It's all meals inclusive. If you can, please join us. It's three of the most meaningful days you'll ever share with anyone. But the ticket rates pretty much go from $15 to $350. So we expect to, we'd like to welcome everybody there and, you know, just have a big gathering. This is our shot at the Woodstock of today. I was at Woodstock, you know, and I was at the first World Fest. That was an event I organized and then took, you know, 5 years off after that to recuperate. This is one of those moments, though. This is I can't think of a more important gathering, and you know, something that really represents meaningful action. You know, on behalf of, you know, there are 176 billion animals are farmed and killed for food every year. I mean, what a massacre! It's a Holocaust, an hour that goes on in the war on animals, the secret hidden war, hidden from us. By the TV commercials on, you know, where we're sold sex and humor and all of that to sell us the body parts, you know, and for us to make the connection to all the social justice issues that, you know, if you're concerned about any social justice issue, you have to be vegan. If you're a peace activist, you have to be vegan. If you're concerned about women's issues and oppression just for being female. Well, nobody is oppressed more than the poor cow for her milk. She's raped. Every glass of milk is the product of rape. All dairy, every piece of cheese, all ice cream. starts with rape. There wouldn't be the baby and there wouldn't be the milk production without that rape. And also the oppression of the female, the chicken, who is mutilated, imprisoned, tortured, and killed because she produces eggs. You know, it's an unfair world. Let's try to make things a little more fair and just and peaceful. And it has to start somewhere with a gathering like this where we're going to get together and say, how can we help people go vegan? How, you know, what do we do? That's the goal. It's not to help them, you know, not eat meat on Mondays or eat cage-free eggs or grass-fed beef. I mean, if everybody thinks he or she can eat grass-fed beef, I mean, what other planet? We need a second planet just, you know, for all the pasture land. That's ridiculous. So the answer really is going vegan. Let's give it a try. Let's get together at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. It's next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Marina Del Rey Marriott. And Cindy Sheehan will be there along with so many illustrious people. It's just real. Oh, and we have a presentation completely en español Sunday afternoon. So people coming out for that, the red ticket level, if they want to just come out on Sunday for that, that's a be out there. And we have Sofia Pineda Ochoa, MD, and she will talk for 45 minutes en español on our vegan issues for the animals, for health, for the environment.
Wow, Bob, that's quite a weekend. I'm also organizing something for next week, the Spring Rising in Washington D.C. And so, yeah, I feel ya. It's quite. I don't know. It's worth it because it's our mission. It's our passion. But it does take a lot. It does take a lot out of us. But anyway, I'm so glad that you're doing this work. I just want to tell you, I think of you every time when I see a sign or someone says, eat the rich. Because my answer is, well, A, no, I'm a vegan. I don't eat meat. And B, rich people probably taste like rancid something that I'm not going to say on the radio.
Right. I guess it should be convert the rich into thinking about veganism and then using their funding for a good cause. You know, I mean, oddly enough, some of the richest people in the world are directing money toward vegan foods. I mean, the writing is on the wall. We have to move in that direction. And even some rich people are concerned, or at least some rich people think they'll get even more money. When is it enough? That's what I wonder about with rich people. Like, when is it enough? It's never enough, right? I mean, it's
no, it's never.
They always want more.
The greedy, that's for sure. Well, Bob, give the website for the summit one more time, and then the website for Go Vegan Radio.
Okay, so for the summit, and you can register there and see the schedule and all the speakers. It's worldvegansummit.com. worldvegansummit.com. And for my radio show, and there are hundreds of archives there, many of them with Cindy, you can go to goveganradio.com. goveganradio.com.
And I'll be on tomorrow night with you.
Terrific. You'll be on the show tomorrow night. yes, terrific. I look forward to that too. So
okay,
we'll talk to you then and see you next weekend, Cindy.
Yay. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks so much.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay.
Well, that's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed Bob Linden, as always, and I hope you go and check out Go Vegan Radio and the World Vegan Summit next weekend. And also go check out Spring Rising at springrising.org. I'll be heading to this nation's capital, what I like to call washed up D.C. this week, and hopefully we'll have a very credible and energetic opposition to Empire, opposition to Obama's request to authorize the use of more military force in the Middle East, expanding into the Ukraine. It just really is a terrible mess out there, and I hope we have a good showing in opposition to it. As always, I'd like to thank Don DeBar, my engineer. I'd like to thank Dee Dee Miller, my assistant. I'd like to thank Bob Linden for being on the show again and for his great work. And I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.